All right, out the back, God bless you guys. See you in a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Let's get our Bibles open tonight, and this is going to be, this is something the Lord had laid on my heart, and I believe it's going to be a message that'll bless you. Luke chapter 8, now we're continuing in the Healing Examples series, and this is number 24. Luke 8, we've been looking at this particular incident in Luke 8. It's also in Matthew chapter 9 and Mark chapter 5, but in Luke 8, there in verse 41, it's the incident concerning Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter, remember. And we've been going over this. And I want to read again verse 41. The title of the message tonight is General versus Specific. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. I told you before, he was the nasi, or the one who was in charge, the president of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, or nearly suffocated him. So, look at this, though. Jesus had compassion. In other places in the scriptures, we said Jesus was moved with compassion. Amen. And so he was moved with compassion. Here you know he was. And he, as he went, the people were all around him because they knew they had been hearing about Jesus. And so it's displaying his will and his compassion to go and heal the man's daughter. And so we, you know, it's a wonderful thing. God still heals today, by the way. And he wants health and healing. He wants health in us. I mean, staying healthy is easier than, you know, going through the times of getting sick and then having to recover. Obviously, it'd be better if none of us ever got sick again, right? Or ever had any conditions that needed addressing in our body in any way, shape, or form. It would be the best. That is what you ought to aim for. Okay? I think we need to be aiming for health, not, you know, get past one obstacle and then just kind of anticipate another one coming up, don't you know? Because as you get older, all that, no, don't go there. I think you want to get past the obstacle that's in front of you, obviously, but then believe God for health. And your confession needs to be health instead of healing necessary. I mean, if you need healing, you need healing, okay? And that's available. But obviously, it would be better if you never needed healing again. And I'll say this, it would be better if we never had to have a prayer line in this church ever again. Well, some people are like, well, you know, if you don't have a prayer line, you don't have anything going on. Well, wait a minute. People totally healthy, strong, well, blessed, you know, God doing things in them is better than needing it, right? But what's so good is that if we do need it, he's always willing. We will always be willing to lay our hands on the sick and see him recover. That's part of the Great Commission. But I am just putting it forth to you that our hearts ought to be set in the direction of being so blessed that we can help others, being so healthy that we don't need healing, right? Being so full of the peace of Christ in our thoughts, having our minds renewed with the Word of God that we don't even give any kind of entertaining to any thoughts that come that run contrary to the Word. We resist the devil. He flees. We stay submitted to God. Our faith levels are rising in our lives. I mean, all of this stuff would be ideal. We're talking ideals now. We're talking God's will, God's perfect will, and that would be wonderful. So let's, you know, let's not just push that off to the side, and let's throw in there also the, you know, y'all don't ever have to sin. I don't ever have to sin again if I choose not to resist it, either when I resist the devil and he flees when I'm submitted to God, or the word isn't true in James 4, verse 7. Now, we know the word is true, okay? So if I'm submitted to God and I resist the devil, he has to flee. Now, I want to remind you that the things that Jesus did in the earth, the way he walked, when he walked and he laid hands on people that were sick and he cast out devils and he raised the dead and all the things that he did. Remember, he did those as a man, okay? It's very, very important that you grab that and realize that. Because when John chapter 14, verse 12, when he said, the works I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. If he did those as God in the flesh, now he was and is God in the flesh, but if all the works that he did that we see him doing in the Word, when he spoke to this situation and it changed and he laid hands on this person or he put a little mud and spit on dirt and spit together on a person's eyes and they got healed, right? And you see these different ways that healing happened and just the things that he did. If he did all those as God in the flesh, then it would be unfair for him to say, and you can do it too. Because guess what? You and I are not God in the flesh. Amen? So if he did it as God in the flesh, that would be very unfair. In fact, you and I could not in any way, shape, or form ever say, well, you know, I can do that too. And the reason most people say that or think that they could never lay hands on a sick person and see a miracle is because they think Jesus did it and he was and is God in the flesh, but he laid aside, set that the all the privileges of deity aside and functioned as a man so as to give us an example of how you and I can walk, right? See, because if he didn't do that, it would be an unfair advantage because you and I are not God in the flesh. So everything he did as a man anointed, how God anointed, Acts 10, verse 38, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Well, God in the flesh, if he was walking in all of those privileges, would not need to be anointed, right? Come on, you there? They would not need to be anointed. He already was. But Jesus laid all that, pushed all that aside, and the decision was from the throne, here's how it's going to work. Yes, you are God manifested in the flesh sent to redeem mankind, absolutely. But you are going to put yourself in a position like every other person, and you're going to lay aside those rights of deity and function with my word and the anointing that I bring, so as to set an example how every other man and woman can walk from now till eternity. Amen. So, I mean, we have a covenant right in the Word of God to do the very same things Jesus did. So that ought to set you free. Think about it for a minute. Jesus did it as, here's the old mindset, you know. They'll say, well, no, wait a minute, that was Jesus. Well, yeah, it was Jesus. But again, he laid the privileges of being deity aside and walked so that you and I would have an example to follow. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about Christ was an ensample or an example to us. So you cannot discount this particular portion of Scripture where it points to that. So tradition always says, well, that's God, and you can't do it, that's God. And Jesus could do anything he wanted to do. You know that that's not true. He could not do anything he wanted to do. Do you remember when he marveled at the, and I was thinking about this today as I was reading that, he marveled at the unbelief. He could there, the Bible said, do no mighty work, you remember that. And what was it, Mark 6? Let me just make a... Mark 6. It's Mark 6, verse 5. He came to his own kin in his own country. He could there do, verse 5 said, no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And look at the next verse in verse 6. We'll just listen. I know you're not there at the moment, and that's fine. But it said, and he marveled because of their unbelief. You know what we've been looking at on Sundays? How he marveled at the faith of the centurion, and he marveled at the faith, or was amazed at the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. And here he is with that same marvel, but in a negative sense. He's marveling at their unbelief. When they had the very same opportunity to walk in faith, but yet they chose not to. And they chose to be in such unbelief that he couldn't even get a hangnail healed. Now, that's pretty serious, because Christ would raise the dead, cast out devils, lay hands on lepers, and they'd be clean. I mean, you know, golly, there's a whole list of things that he's done. And we've looked at a few of the incidents that are in the Word. But he could there do no mighty work. So don't tell me that Jesus would just do anything he wanted to do. He wanted to heal people there, but he couldn't. Oh, but that, you know, Jesus had a reason. And here's where it turns. Well, Jesus had a reason. Yeah, there was a reason, all right. He couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Oh, that can't be, because then that puts a responsibility on us. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So if Jesus was doing everything as deity and just bypassing mankind and the things that men and women, mankind walk in, then it would have been an unfair advantage. And he didn't do that. He was tempted in every point like as we are, yet he never sinned. Why do you think we can say you don't have to sin? Well, you think you're Christ? No. I know that Christ lives in my heart, and he said, the works I do shall ye do also. And we know for a fact he never sinned. So it's possible for you and I not to sin. That's not a very popular thing to say, I don't mind telling you. Because people go like, that is absolutely impossible. But let me just cite this to you. The last time that you know that you stepped over into an area of sin, you had a choice, didn't you? It may have just been for a split second, but you took the route of giving in to the thing that you could have resisted. Amen? I'm talking to every one of you. It's not like everybody except so-and-so. No, I'm talking to me too. There's always a choice. You always have a choice. That's why the Bible said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. In other words, it's all there before you. You make the choice. You make the choice. And then he actually, it's an open book test. He tells you what to choose. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So in this, back in Luke 8, here you go. Jairus' daughter lays a dying, and Jesus said, I'll come to the house. I'll take care of this. So skip on down, because then the woman with the issue of blood came. In verse 49, while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Last 2 weeks ago tonight, we did a message called Three Elements. And we spoke about where Christ said, do not be afraid, believe only or only believe. And then he had to believe what he said, okay, that the man had said, and my daughter will be healed if you'll come, she'll be fine. So when this opposition to his faith arose, he had a choice. Either he was going to collapse in fear, collapse in the situation or at the moment what was just reported, or he was going to hold fast to his confession of faith. Now, I know that sounds like, would any of us hold fast to our confession of faith if we were told that our a child had died? Well, I want to say this. Of course, we'd all like to think that we would make the right choice, okay? But again, it is a choice. It is a choice. And you can choose one way or the other. And it doesn't have to be about a child or anything like that. It could be about your finances. It could be about a situation in your own physical body. There are many, many ways that this could apply. But in looking at all of these instances and incidents that we've covered and looked at in these 23 messages up until this point tonight, one of the things that stands out to me is it is always God's will to heal. And so we know that. We know that, don't we? Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, that Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. Now, we read that and we say, okay, yeah, the curse of the law included all sickness and disease. We're redeemed. We've been purchased out of the slave market. We're right in the right place at the right time. When you receive Jesus, you are the redeemed. And the redeemed should not be afraid or ashamed to say so. Okay, that's the general will of God. We also know that the Bible says that with the stripes that were laid on his back, and there were 39 stripes, okay? 40 stripes save one. That was a Roman scourge. And 39 stripes, and they weren't just little snap of a towel kind of stripe, if you will, or, you know, like a black leather strap. No, these had bits of stone and things in it, bone that were sharpened. So whenever the person that swung the cat of nine tails, it had nine tails on it, and he would swing it hard and put it on the flesh and swing it hard enough that those pieces, those sharp pieces of stone or bone would bite into, or metal, would bite into the flesh, okay? Like if he just struck Jesus like that on his back and let go of the handle of the thing, it would stick in his back and the handle would hang down, but the cat of nine tails were stuck in his back. Okay? And then what would he do? He wouldn't just leave it there. That's when he would violently jerk it off and pull it off of his back, and in the process, pull the flesh and separate the muscle and the top layer of the skin, and do that 39 times. And once the blood started running, it was a horrific, horrific sight. So that by the time he was finished, Jesus did not have the shape nor the form. No wonder why Isaiah prophesied and said he has no form nor comeliness. Literally doesn't have the shape of a human anymore. He was a torn up piece of flesh. Now, again, he did that as a man, took that beating as a man. And don't think for a second it didn't hurt. It hurt horrifically. One lash with one stone or piece of metal or bone stuck into your flesh and pulled off would hurt. Not to mention nine each time, times 39. What, nine times 40 is 360. Minus nine, that would be 351 separate wounds that were pulled and jerked on his. I mean, it was ridiculous. Serious pain. Remember, he had been punched in the face before this, pulled his beard out, took a crown of thorns and rammed it on his head. And they weren't little tiny briar bush, little tiny thing. I mean, these were some thorns that would seriously injure you. And then to top it all off, they nailed him to a cross. Made him carry it first. Nailed him to it. Through the wrists. Through the ankle bones after turning his body sideways. And went through both ankle bones into the wood. I mean, people would pass out. They'd die before they ever got that far. And then, well, first made him carry the cross that distance, and he fell a couple of times, you know. I mean, come on. Jesus was not a wimp. Jesus was more of a man than any man that's ever been born or ever will be born. They got him up there and set the cross into the hole that they had dug and secured it so it would stay there. Then they went about and broke the legs of the other two and then realized Jesus was dead. But before that ever happened, he cried out with a loud voice. And he prayed forgiveness and forgave the people that did it to him. I mean, when you start putting this all together, this was one tough man. That's our Savior. And he did that so you and I could have authority handed to us on a gold platter over the devil. The good news, I mean, they put him in the grave and you know the rest of the story. He comes alive. and he's seen and he communicates with the disciples, and over 500 people, 500 saw him, and he rose up before them and is alive in the heavens today. And where does he live? He lives in your heart because you invited him there. And so with all of that goes all the words in this book, and all we have to do is take them and apply them into our lives. So we know the general will of God includes healing. That is part of it. Okay? That's part of what we've been redeemed from. We're redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, poverty, emotional stress. You're redeemed from all that stuff. But why do so many people walk in it? Well, the general will of God is in place, and it's here for us to read in the Logos, in the written word of God. But where we stumble, I think, is when we're not getting the specific will of God, the Rhema word of God. And that's a serious, serious, different aspect of this whole procedure. Because the general will of God, the written will that we have before us, is that it's his will that you walk in divine health. But the way that you are going to or receive your healing, the way that you're going to receive it may vary from person to person. Again, John chapter 2, verse 5, when Jesus' mother told them at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. I love this verse, but it is so simple. She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Okay, Pastor, that was pertaining to there at the wedding feast. Yes, but think about it for a minute. If he tells you to do anything, you ought to do it. Amen? Amen. And this is the difference between victory and defeat. Is hearing what he wants you to do. You can bury your head in the sand and say, well, I just, you know, I'm not even going to take any time to get before God because I think I know what he'll say when I do go before him. Okay, there are people that are playing that game. Well, that doesn't work. You know that. He knows what people are doing. He knows exactly what they're thinking. He knows what they're going to think. He knows his will, and then he knows what they pursue. And if we're all pursuing, you know, I mean, first off, the general will of God to be manifest in us, but then the specific will of God getting before him to hear, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I don't want you to go here. I want you to go here. I want you to, talk to this individual. I don't want you to go in this direction. I want you to go, you know, he's going to direct his people. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we are commanded and told that we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Not enough talk about that. Not enough ministry on being led of the Spirit. Because being led of the Spirit, first off, takes time for you and I to sit down and, frankly, shut our mouths and listen to him tell us what he wants us to do. It's not all about what we think. As Americans, Christians, and Americans, we're kind of like, you know, God's blessed us with wisdom. So I've got a good head on my shoulders. I'm going to do what I know to do. Well, there are times the Lord will tell you to do something that doesn't make a lot of good common sense, okay? He had me give a car away one time. Give the car away. I was like, it's my car. I didn't want to give it away. But as I prayed about it, I got more of a heart like, I got to give this car. Not that I have to give it. I want to give it. At first, it was like, I want some confirmation on this because that's my car. Well, make a long story short, I put some new tires on it, ended up, you know, cleaned it all up. I always keep my cars pretty clean. But this was an older car. I really wish I had that car now. But anyway, it's you know, it was an older car and had a big V8 in it and all that. But as I sewed the car, the person I gave it to was just thrilled with it. And within a week, I had a check in my hand to buy a new car from a person who was a partner in our ministry. And said, the Lord told me to give this to you to get a new car. And I didn't write out a letter and say, I'm giving away my car, so y'all get to praying. You know, y'all need to listen up. I didn't tell anybody I did it. Yeah. Yeah. So praise God. That's when I got the Jeep. When I first met you, I had the Jeep. But he, and so somebody will say, well, I guess, you know, if I want a car, I'll give a car away. Well, you could be walking a long time if you don't hear right. You don't just do that kind of thing. Well, I heard of somebody took their glasses off and smashed them under their feet, and they see fine. They don't need glasses anymore. And so I've heard of people taking them off and just by faith. And 2 days later, they're going to the optometrist. You know, stupid stuff. You can't just do what somebody else does when they heard a specific command from God to do what they're doing. Okay? Go to Romans 10. And again, this pertains because Jesus, I'll remind you, only did what he heard the Father tell him to do. Right? We've gone over this. This was part of that series that we did not too long ago. And I was emphasizing that. That's out of John chapter 5. Where Jesus only did and only said the things the Father said for him to say and did the things he saw the Father instructing him to do. Write that down. It's in John 5, verse 19, and then verse 30 as well. But so in Romans 10, the scripture says this is how we get faith, right? And every one of us want faith built up in our lives. We've been talking about having great faith and all. And verse 17, this is one of my favorite verses and others in here, of course. Sharon, you and I have talked about this many times. It reads, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, the word used for word there at the end of the verse, and hearing by the word of God is the Greek word rhema, meaning the spoken word. Okay, so faith is only going to come when you hear the Lord instruct you what to do regarding that general promise. The general promise is, by the stripes of Christ, you were healed. You know, the thing I had on my wrist is not part of the way it's supposed to be in a person's body, okay? Right? I wasn't born with that big lump on my wrist. But I had to hear from the Lord what I needed to do to see that thing disappear. I had it injected. I had it looked at. Cost me money. And you know how we do things. We go, well, you know, just shoot the thing and kill it, and it'll go away, you know. And then when it didn't, you're going, this is not good. And then when they tell you it's going to be, you know, $8,000 or more to cut a little thing off your wrist, you're like, I don't want to spend that kind of money. That's crazy. So you begin to seek the Lord. And I will say this. You know, I received my healing. I said, I believe I receive. But then that wasn't the end of it because it was still sticking off my wrist that far. And it hurt. So I received my healing. Oh, yeah? Let me see your wrist. No, it's none of your business. But all along, taking time to get alone with God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of God. Spoken. It's part of being led by the Spirit. He will speak to you. Whatever he tells you to do, you end up doing. Yeah, well, Pastor, I thought you were redeemed. I am redeemed. So are you. But how is it to manifest? What was my part? What was the work I needed to put behind my faith? The Lord gave me specific instructions, you know, to do what I did with the wristband and not the brace. The brace was stopping the movement, was stopping it and holding it in place and kind of compressing it. And it felt good until I take it off. And that's why I knew. I was like, Lord, that's going to hurt. But it just had this peace in me, like, just do it. Yeah, just do it. And I did, and the thing disappeared. So we give God the glory for it. But the specific instruction came. It didn't make sense to me because I knew it was going to hurt. At least I thought it was. I never felt it. Okay? And I had bumped it, and can attest to this, I had bumped that a few times, and it was like, oh, man, that hurt. Whew. What's the Lord telling you regarding your situation? You know, I mean, if it's something where you're believing for prosperity, you're believing for a financial need to be met, have you gotten alone with God about it? Have you sat down and listened Jesus didn't just go about doing everything that he wanted to do. We know that from the word. He couldn't heal some people in places, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul, Peter, they all had instances. They walked by that man at the gate, beautiful, how many days before they stopped and God said to them what they were supposed to say? Now, until you take the time and make the effort to get before God and be quiet and listen and get it out of your head that none of this stuff is possible to happen for you. Oh, it can happen for other people, but in you. No, no, no. Hey, miracles are miracles because they are said by others to not be able to occur. And it's something that the Lord will do and get involved because it's no big deal for him to heal a cancer as it is to heal a sore finger from a hangnail. I mean, it's just not that big of a deal for him. Where it is with us is right here. And so if we'll actually take some time to get before him, see, the situations, we need to hear specific instructions regarding what we are dealing with. And every situation is different. And all of the surrounding situations. You have this instance here in your life about a healing in your body. Well, what have you been saying over that body for the last 10 years? There are things that feed into situations that you need to be discerning and understanding. But with that, the Lord can say very specifically, this is something that you need to do. This is something you need to stop doing. Some people have issues with their health, and they don't ever take time to listen to the Lord because that sounds like too simple of a thing to do. I mean, it's got to be more supernatural than that. Or I have to hear a booming voice or something. I mean, don't go there. Don't miss the supernatural because you're looking for the spectacular. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. Find out what he wants you to do. Find out where the area is in the specific thing that he's saying to you to do. Jesus dealt with the situation with Jairus' daughter when he walked in. Go ahead, stand to your feet. When he walked into the house and he said, the child's not dead, but sleeps. And what was the first response from everybody there? They laughed him to scorn. There was a knee slapper. I mean, they were just, ho, 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 this man is crazy. We knew it. Laughing him to scorn. But he said, and I want you to write those down, John 5, verse 19 and verse 30, he didn't do anything unless he heard the Father tell him to do it. And that's important. Now listen, he didn't do it as God, he did it as a man. Why does that not apply to you and I? Oh, I've got news for you. It does. Don't let it be said that, Sharon, that you're doing anything unless you hear the Father tell you to do it. Ann, Jim, come on, Sherry, Tom, all of us. If I left you out, I didn't mean to. But I'm not going to name everybody. But the fact is, whatever he says, we need to, don't do anything unless you hear the Lord say to do it. And if he says to do it, the results will follow. You don't want to get into doing something based on your own wit and wisdom. Amen. Jesus did everything that he heard the Father tell him to do, and when he did, the results followed. But Jesus couldn't do something for the people there in his own hometown, yet he wanted to. Why didn't he? Father didn't tell him that he could. Why? Because faith does trigger the anointing. Faith still has to be present. Amen. Well, praise God. Come on, let's... Let's bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer on this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you tonight and give you glory for specifics. We need to know the specific things that you are saying. As unique as each situation is before you, we need to know in that very unique fashion what you want us to do. Now, we're not going to look for something weird. We're not going to look and try to figure something out that's different from anything we've ever heard that people have done before. No, we want to hear what you have to say. And it could be something very simple, something very plain, something that everybody will go, well, yeah, it's common sense. Is it common sense? We don't want common sense. We want the uncommon. We want from the throne of grace what we should do in our lives. to trigger your anointing to bring the cure, to bring your general will to pass in us in a specific way. So I thank you for it. And I praise you and bless you and give you glory. Come on, in Jesus' name, we'll get before the Lord and find out exactly what he wants us to do. And then be obedient to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.